I'm Bill Barole. Over the last few decades, I've done every kind of writing there is to do, from journalism to humor, books, movies, and television.
I'm Matt Ricardo. For the last 30 years, I've toured the world as a variety performer.
We've come together across the Atlantic to talk about creativity, what it is, where it comes from, why it matters.
Thomas Edison said, "To invent, you need a good imagination and a pile of junk."
This is Imagination and Junk, a conversation about the hard work of creativity.
Episode 31, Just Stop. Dear Bill, when the first episode of Imagination and Junk slid quietly onto the internet, here's where we were. I mean, physically. You were in Los Angeles, watching America try to navigate the COVID pandemic. And I, even though I live in the UK, was in Sydney, Australia, in a lovely hotel room halfway through the mandatory 2-week pandemic isolation, waiting to appear on a TV show which would, a week later, be cancelled due to a COVID outbreak on the set. It was a strange time. And in strange times, in troubling times, it's often a good move to do something new and something creative. To busy yourself. To engage your artistic brain. When you feel like you're not in control of things, perhaps it's healthy to do some of the things that you are in control of. So that's what we did. We started making a podcast about creativity, a way to focus on one of those things that keeps us on an even keel, to write about the process of making things while in the process of making a thing seemed like it might be interesting. It also perhaps should be noted at this point that when we had written and recorded several episodes of our new venture and released the first one, we had still never actually met. We had exchanged messages, then longer emails, then promoted ourselves to the lofty heights of Zoom calls and Slack channels, but we didn't share the same physical space until many months later. And they say you can't make real relationships on the internet. The first episode of Imagination and Junk we titled Just Start. We called it that because it was, at least in part, about how when you're planning to do something creative, it's good to start the process of making it as soon as possible, to generate momentum. As you say in the episode, once you've started, then you can and should apply rigor and craft and experience to start to make it good. But to make something good, you have to first make something. I just re-listened to that first episode, by the way. I don't tend to listen to our shows any more than I have to because I'm not a big fan of hearing my own stupid voice, but I sat here in my comfy chair by the window with that episode playing and I felt a little bit, as the kids say, totes emosh. Because it's not just a first step in our podcasting project or in our creative collaboration, it's an early document of our friendship. I still think that Just Start is very good advice. It removes any thought of am I good enough or is my idea actually doable. It takes away all the what ifs and replaces them with find outs. Pour your ideas into the fuel tank and stamp on the pedal. What happens when the fuel starts to dwindle? There are limitless ideas inside everyone, of course, but each individual idea itself is not limitless. Ideas have a beginning and an end, and as those of you who have taken notice of the title of this episode might be realizing, we're thinking that this idea, this podcast, might be reaching its conclusion. Now, I don't know about you, Bill, but for me, that realization was a fascinating thing to experience. We never planned it. We never really talked about if this podcast would be a limited set of episodes or run forever. I guess we were too busy making it, we had just started. But over the last few months, for both of us, it just seemed to get harder to make. We started repeating ourselves, the writing took a little longer, and we were less sure of it. It was almost as if our own creative process was trying to tell us that it might be time to do something different. And then we finally felt it and gathered the guts to talk to each other about it, and here we are. Better to land the plane than run out of gas in the air. Is that how it feels for you, Bill? I'll talk to you soon. Matt.
Dear Matt, hoo boy, you asked a big question there. Is that how it feels to me? Well, it feels lots of ways to me. Let me see if I can chase some of them down. We did, as you say, start this project in a time of crisis. It was a big crisis, a global one, but it also came home to some people in smaller and more particular ways. You were, I think it's fair to say, one of those. You saw a year's worth of bookings go poof in a matter of days. My situation as a freelancer was a little more theoretical. Yours was very, very specific. I can't imagine the sinking feeling that must have given you. In a way, I'm realizing just now, I exploited it a little, in a benign way. I approached a guy who suddenly had absolutely no income and asked him to take on a project with me for the low, low price of free. I have a feeling you may have said yes to any cockamamie thing that came in over your transom in the winter of 2020. I'm glad you said yes to this one. It's ironic, a little, that we're also ending this series, or at least this iteration of it, more on that in a second, in a time of crisis. But a crisis that's much more of our own human invention. I'm assuming we won't all have destroyed ourselves in an orgy of sectarian geopolitical violence by the time this episode airs. I mean, I hope we won't, but I'm going to edit it quickly just in case. Feeling number two. I feel mystified and slightly saddened that you hate the sound of your own voice. As you know, I am an American, and our brains are tuned to hear any British accent as something intrinsically classy. I put yours in that category, so take that for what it's worth. Feeling number three. I'm surprised to see that, at this late date, we have slightly different recollections of what that first episode was about. To me, the animating idea wasn't so much that one should just start as quickly as possible in order to spin up some momentum. It was rather that a creator should, to the degree possible, not overthink things to the point where he gets frozen in place. It's ultimately always a matter of taking that first step off the line, and the only bad step is no step. So you begin in some fashion, any fashion, and then you course correct if you have to, which you will, and the course correction is everything. The course correction is what we call creativity. We've talked about process, about style, about the tools of one's trade. Ultimately, these are secondary to something much more elemental, which is the bravery to pick a direction and go. Without that initial act of nerve, nothing else is possible. But maybe we're saying the same thing? It might be the last time, but it wouldn't be the first time. Feeling number four. Sad. A little, anyway. I felt some sadness when you talked about this podcast reaching its end. Because I don't see it that way, and I hope you don't either. And I don't think you do. The plan we've discussed, although it might be a little grand to call it a plan, is to keep alive the imagination and junk identity as a sort of umbrella, and to do something new under it. Something that isn't this, but swims in some of the same waters. We'll have more to say about this idea. It's maybe more of an idea than a plan. So listeners, keep that subscription, please, because we'll be back in your earholes with more about the future of imagination and junk, whatever that may look like, very soon. Finally, I feel like we may not have yet gotten around to the point of this episode. Again, wouldn't be the first time. To me, that point is this. A question. How do you know when it's time to stop? You flicked at some possible tells. The process seems to take longer, go slower, have more friction. Those are staticky little quavers in the signal. But how do you know? I have an answer to that, or at least a suggestion for one, but I'm afraid it isn't particularly satisfying, and in fact, it sounds like kind of a dodge. The answer is, you don't know. You never do. Because creativity is an endless river, and if you try to trace it back to the tiny spring of its origin, you'll end up going mad in the jungle somewhere. And if you follow it out to the place where you lose it, it's always a flow into a bigger sea, where the waters mesh and blend like, well, like water, I suppose. The point is, there's always more that can be done. But there isn't always more that should be done. And recognizing the moment where further tiny brushstrokes, what Da Vinci called potchkiing, stop being additive and simply start muddying your intent, Well, that's the trick. Sometimes you have to simply stop and move on to something new. So that's what we're going to do. Again, more details to come. And Matt, I'll talk to you next time. Bill.
Dear Bill, the world was indeed in crisis when we started making this podcast. It was, and I don't think I'm the first person to say this, a very odd time. As you say, all of my live work for the year vanished, which, while initially jarring and terrifying, also turned out to be other, more positive things. It left a hole, and if you're lucky, creative, and able to, when that happens, you can fill that hole with something good. Something new. When the world says that, well, you're not making any money from your art for a while, then it presents an opportunity to reply, well then, I guess I'll do the art that wouldn't make money anyway. So, I learned how to make videos for YouTube, I wrote a book, and I started making imagination and junk with you. Almost everything else that I've ever made, I've done as a solo project. I'm a solitary kid, but collaborating with you felt possible, and then felt comfortable, and now feels important. You seem nice, is what I'm saying. So, although there was, as you call it, a sinking feeling to that year, it also allowed me to redefine what I do, what I am, and this podcast was a key part of that new definition. So, I guess what I'm saying is, thanks, COVID? That doesn't seem right. In terms of the meaning of that first episode, I think we are saying basically the same thing about starting a creative work, which is to do it, not to tarry too much before writing the first word or draft or pancake or whatever. As you say, the real work and the real creativity comes in developing and improving what you start with. Art is in the edit. In order to make something good, you first have to make something. But we're talking about stopping, not starting. You ask how someone knows when it's time to stop. There is, of course, no clear answer to that, but I would posit that it takes the same amount of nerve and bravery to end something that it takes to just start. Maybe more. Habit and momentum are real. I guess part of the skill set of anyone that makes something ongoing is to be constantly aware of how it feels, to be monitoring all the little metrics inside our heads and noticing when they start trending in a new direction. Now, I don't quite know what all those metrics are, but I do know that at a certain point while making this season, we both started to feel it. Perhaps it's when it starts to feel less like play and more like work. Maybe it's when you find yourself more enthused about the possibility of something new rather than the thing you're currently doing. Either way, to listen to those feelings is healthy. So, yes, this project, this podcast about the hard work of creativity, is reaching its conclusion. It's not that we're dumb or arrogant enough to think that we've said all there is to say about being an artist, but maybe we've said everything that we wanted to say, at least for now. And I like the idea of the run of Imagination and Junk having a beginning, a middle, and an end. A contained compendium of our thoughts about how to make things delivered while we made something. We are going to say more about something somehow, though, for sure, because this channel and our creative collaboration isn't going anywhere. We couldn't stop making things if we wanted to, and luckily, we don't want to. All that remains is to land this plane smoothly, thank our passengers, and tell them to stay in their seats while we decide where we're going next. I'll talk to you soon. Matt.
Dear Matt, I also like the notion that this podcast has had a beginning, a middle, and an end, what fiction writers call an arc. If that sounds self-congratulatory, which I think it does a little, I should say, I don't know how deliberately we've set up that architecture. Not very, I think. But it's there. Sometimes you only recognize it in retrospect. And it's the act of coasting toward a conclusion that triggers and defines the end stage. Ramp up, coast a while, ramp down. Sort of like, you know, life and stuff. Stop me, please, before I break into a chorus of sunrise, sunset. So yes, on that much, we can agree. However, I disagree with you about it taking as much nerve to stop a creative project as it does to start. That's going to be a hard pass for me. It seems self-evident to me that one part of that equation is about building momentum and then sustaining it. The other is about dissipating it, or perhaps watching as it dissipates, which feels like an easier lift to me. Two different thermodynamic principles. Opposites, in fact. Why, yes, I did go to college, thank you for asking. But just to prove that I'm not an unreasonable man, there is a part of that terminal slide that does take nerve. I think we just disagree about how much. And that's the part that comes once you recognize that you're coasting toward an end. It's the acknowledgement. The clear-eyed recognition that it is, after all the effort and frustration and exhilaration, time to end. Maybe it isn't nerve that it takes exactly, but a kind of grace and some humility. Or maybe this is only semantics. Whatever you call it, though, it's a reminder that change is the only constant, as they like to say in the world of meditation, and everything ends. Even podcasts, the staggering number of podcasts that still exist in the world notwithstanding. When I was doing my first podcast, Home, Stories from L.A., which is still available for your listening pleasure and will be as long as I continue to pay the folks at Blueberry for hosting it, like some sort of audio zombie lurching toward the apocalypse, when I was doing Home, I came across a term that neatly describes this terminal stage. Podfade. This usually describes the kind of final act in which releases get less regular, excuses get more pathetic. Hey guys, sorry I haven't pushed a new episode lately, things have been crazy around here. But it can also signify the kind of energetic drift we've been feeling. Because it is, as you say, a feeling that tips you off. A sense that those internal metrics, whatever they may be, are trending down. You suggest that one signal is that a project starts to feel less like play and more like work. I think that's a big one, if you've been lucky enough to be engaged in something that feels like play, which we have. Which leaves us very close to the end. I'll give you a chance to wrap up your part, and then I'll pop back in to shut out the lights and take down the shingle, and let the mailman know he can forward our mail to the new iteration of this podcast, which I've been thinking of as Imagination and Junk Mach 2, a jazz rock exploration. Okay, Matt, take it away. Bill.
Dear Bill, yes, it's good when artistic things have an arc, a shape, a consciously laid out construction. It feels pleasing and satisfying. It gives the audience member a feeling that they're in safe hands, that the makers know what they're doing. In the TV business, I believe they call this the reverse J.J. Abrams. You mention that it's not as if we planned Imagination and Junk to have this arc that it's ended up having, and that's true. Years ago when we started this, we didn't know when or how or why it would finish, but that doesn't mean a shape can't reveal itself through the act of making. Plenty of creative people map everything out in advance, but plenty don't. Stephen King apparently just has an idea for the core of a story or a situation that a character might find themselves in and then bangs away on his keyboard as the rest of it reveals itself. But, and however, I do still believe that it takes as comparable amount of energy to stop as it does to start. I'm going to fight my corner on this, albeit with some caveats. I will compromise by rephrasing. I believe it can take a comparable amount of something to stop as it does to start. Maybe it's a different something though. I think the reason Podfade exists is that it's easier to keep doing something less well and less often than it is to announce that you're stopping. That can feel like an admission of failure rather than the brag of things being crazy round here right now, guys. Also, it's hard to stick a finish. If you're deciding that you're at the end of an arc, you have to find a satisfying way to land it. Nobody wants to be Game of Thrones, who famously in its final season flashed forward to Milan in the 1980s and concerned itself with the cutthroat glamorous world of international fashion. Or something, I don't know, I never watched it. And for the record, I think we're doing not a bad job of that. I mean, when your first episode is called Just Start,
and is about starting something, you don't need to pay a branding consultant to realise that your last episode should probably be about the art of endings and be called Just Stop. Although, as we've intimated, this isn't an end really. It's just an end to this thing. When we first started making this podcast, we had not actually met, so we probably cannot say that we were friends. We exchanged a zillion messages on various platforms and Zoomed a lot, but still, we were taking tentative steps in feeling each other out and deciding if we could make something together. As I think about it now, what we made feels like the opposite of almost every other podcast. Rather than two old friends who think their hilarious, spontaneous banter should be recorded for the benefit of the world, we were basically strangers who wanted to explore each other's opinions and thoughts to find out where they crossed over and where they didn't, and do this with meticulous writing and editing and no spontaneity whatsoever. I think we silently agreed early on that a podcast about the hard work of creativity should be a product of hard work and creativity, which luckily I think we both enjoy. Which meant that as we made this and exchanged even more messages and did more Zoom calls and even on a couple of occasions got on planes and visited each other, we became friends. And look, I'm in my 50s, people my age don't usually make new friends so easily, but that did happen. We metaphorically shook hands on the idea of an artistic relationship and, over the years, pretty quickly actually, that relationship became something more. So, for all the times we've spoken about the benefits of being a creative, professionally or not, the positives that applying hard work, craft and play to the creative process can bring, I'm going to say that the most significant element of this creative process was having you become, episode by episode, a more important part of my life. Which is good, because we still want to make things together. We're sticking the landing on this project, sure, but our current messages and Zooms are about the next things. It doesn't feel like an end, it feels like a fun, interesting, explorative kind of what's next. So this is my last sign-off on my last of these letters across the Atlantic, and I can't wait to work on the next thing with you, Bill. So I'll see you then. Matt.
Dear Matt, well, you know what they say. If you want an unabashedly sincere take on how the real gift of an undertaking is the friends you make along the way, ask a juggler. Oh, okay, I kid. But it's only because I'm dead inside. So, let me wake the cold, empty place where my soul should live long enough to say, yes, I agree. We started this thing as strangers, and we come to the end of its first iteration as friends. And that is, all snarkiness aside, a good thing. A valuable thing. A thing that is, as you point out, increasingly rare as one ages. The rewards of creativity are often ephemeral, but in this case they're real and concrete. And for that, I'm grateful to you. I like that as we're headed for the barn. Do you have that expression over there? It's one of the many phrases we use to nod to the agrarian roots of our common history, a history we have gleefully annihilated and now only trot out when we want to appear authentic and not the trend-chasing, novelty-crazed dopamine junkies we've become. As we head for the barn, we're circling this idea that it takes as much of something to close a creative arc as it does to open it, but we can't quite agree on what that something is. I like this. It feels true to the spirit of the enterprise, right to the end. And in that spirit, I'm willing to go with you on this. It takes something. What is that? Well, I don't believe it's nerve or energy. These are words we use to characterize the brio with which we approach a task, and they don't get to the heart of the matter. So let me postulate this, and I do so secure in the knowledge that even if you think it's nuts or just plain stupid, this is the last segment of the last episode and I can pretty much pitch any half-baked crazy-ass thing I want. So here it comes. What is this X factor we're chasing? It is, simply, intentionality. To decide to end, rather than simply stop. As Buddy Holly would have said if he was writing music today, to not pod fade away. We've given listeners a wide variety of tips, tools, and prescriptions for their creative process over the life of this podcast, so let's leave them with another one. The affirmative decision to end any given creative project is itself your last act of creativity. The motive force that gave you your initial push out of the gate may have been, as we began by saying, something close to magic. The where did that come from? that is the first blink of creativity announcing itself. But the final kick that gets you across the finish line is all you, because the line is always and only where you say it is. So only you can determine when it's crossed. You can tinker with the thing until the heat death of the universe, and some of us do, but you shouldn't. You should reach a point where you set it down, give it a last fond pat on the head, and send it on its way. Because that was always the point. And then you should begin scanning the horizon, as Matt and I are doing right now, for what's next. Bruce Springsteen has been one of my touchstones in this series, as pro wrestling has been for Matt. And that goes all the way back to our reflection in the very first episode on that moment I alluded to a minute ago when an idea first manifests itself, a moment that can only be called magic. Well, we stole that idea from Springsteen. With credit, of course. So let's end with this, and credit again to Springsteen. Eulogizing Clarence Clemens in 2011, and by implication Danny Federici as well, who had died 3 years earlier, Springsteen said, "Clarence doesn't leave the band when he dies. He leaves when we die." Springsteen was talking about the bonds of bandhood, bonds that are bigger than a song or a record or a concert set. But I think of that quote often in a lot of different contexts, and I'm thinking of it today. I hope we've shown that creativity isn't a knack or a gift or some sort of dance with the muse. It's a way of life, and it doesn't end until you do. So, make that final creative act of intentionality. Get over the line. And then ask yourself, what's next? Thanks for saying yes, Matt. And I'll see you for the next thing. Bill. Imagination and Junk is written by Bill Barole in the U.S. and Matt Ricardo in the U.K., with audio production by Bill Barole. For more information, show notes, and bonus content, it's imaginationandjunk.com.